Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 11th of May, and I'm recording at 9:18 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Now, the bigger story today, or certainly one of the biggest stories, I think concerns retail shares. And a number of them are lower in here recently, as you will no doubt have noticed. Not least Macy's, but also Walmart stores, Michael Kors Holdings, Ross stores. They go on and on. Target also has fallen quite sharply. And let me see if I can remember all the others. North Face, Lee and Wrangler. They're also well down. So is Gap. In here, and this is not just today, they're well off their highs, these shares, after what had been a pretty good run overall. Well, what's the story behind all this? Obviously, investors are spending less in these shops, and that's worried people. But what we're seeing in this environment here in stock markets, where we have effectively a trading range, and we've certainly had that for a while, is that we're seeing a lot of rapid moves and switching from one sector to another. And so they'll get a short to medium term momentum run to the upside and then to the downside and so on. But the retailers have a more serious problem overall, partly because there's just this giant disruptor. And that's Amazon, of course, at least as far as the Western retail corporations are actually concerned. And Amazon is now accounting for about a quarter of the retail sales that we're actually seeing in some of these Western markets, according to Bloomberg. And that's an absolutely huge, huge percentage overall. And we're probably all Amazon users, or I certainly am. And what's going to happen? Well, I think that the stores are going to have to reinvent themselves once again. I mean, they're very good at actually doing that, or at least the ones that survive are very good at doing that. And I think also contrarian thinkers among investors, value investors for sure, but I think also contrarian thinkers will be looking at the retail sector and saying, hey, this is actually becoming interesting once again. Because you take Macy's, and okay, their earnings disappointed, so you don't want to read too much into the P, but nevertheless, the estimated price-earnings ratio is only 8.69, so that's attractive. And then it yields 4.77%. And that's certainly attractive. Now, if they have a very bad session, then we know that earnings can fall and push that PE estimate somewhat higher, and possibly even lead to a dividend cut. Although I think the shares would actually be loath to do that overall. But they have been great performers in the bull market right up until. Well, for most of them, we're talking about sort of mid-2015, and then they started to unravel and have kept on unraveling, and with a little bit of acceleration to the downside in here more recently, which is to say, I think looks interesting, and value investors, I suspect, will be tempted to nibble in this sector before long, if they're not doing so already. It's a Warren Buffett type situation, perhaps, although he doesn't like all the competition that they actually face, and there's plenty of that. I think there's also behavioral indicator that subscribers can use in this sector. And if you stick with Macy's here for a moment, when you see a charismatic chairman and CEO like Terry Lundgren of Macy's, I remember how much he was a guest on Bloomberg and CNBC, at least in 2014 and the first half of 2015. Now, you can guess why, because the shares are doing exceptionally well. They had an amazing run. And so he's very happy to appear and talk the shares up. Well, I don't think he was on the program today, or at least I didn't see hear any mention of that overall. So my point is, when you see these very popular CEOs who are invited on and talking about the excellent performance of their shares, treat that as a contrary indicator. And that's a good time to have a look at the chart, and the chart may well still be going up, as it was the case for, as I said, 2014 and at least first off 2015. But what that tells you is that you've got a lot of investors who are momentum trading those shares, and when they start to underperform, or sometimes they give very clear signals like accelerating a little bit higher right towards the end, becoming overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. And certainly when they lose form, a lot of people do scramble to the exits at the same time. Okay, what else is going on in here today? Well, Wall Street, you know, it's overbought and it's up on the higher side of its trading range for the last many months here overall. Sentiment has improved inevitably with that rally, and I think that's a bit of a contrary indicator. And you'll remember how bearish people were back in mid-February. Well, that was all reversed by a very good rally overall. But at the higher side of the trading range, and what good news do they have to look forward to here right now? Well, the best news as such came out earlier in the week when the figures were not so good, the employment figures were not all that good, and people said, well, the Fed will hold back on the interest rate increase. And so this almost in a knee-jerk sort of way, investors went in and bid Wall Street a little higher, breaking the short-term reaction that we had actually seen. But, you know, you say, well, they're not going to raise interest rates. What's that say about the actual economy? And not only the U.S. economy, which is growing very slowly, and corporations are struggling with their profits here, but it also says that the global economy is not doing all that well. So does the Fed dare go in and push up interest rates, driving the dollar higher? Well, that would only compound the problems. So we saw weakness in here today, the U.S. indices falling by, well, if we take the Dow and the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ composite, they're down on average 1%, a little more, is in the case of the actual Dow. And I think we're susceptible here to a further reaction in coming weeks. I'm certainly not hugely bearish, and I hope I don't need to be hugely bearish. But we're locked in this trading range, and it could persist for quite a while. I'm thinking very lengthy medium term. It could be more than it could easily be. Between 1 and 3 years, the further ahead you look in the future in terms of making a forecast, like the more variables there are, and the more it becomes just a plain old guess. But I think this is going to be a very lengthy ranging consolidation process, and we want to look for sectors that get sharp corrections, such as retailers are at the moment. And we want to see valuations improve somewhat. And we should get an upturn in second quarter earnings, not least as the dollar had actually weakened from its highs, the dollar index from its highs, it weakened quite a bit. But investors will be anxious until they actually start to see some of those earnings. Well, what else can we talk about in here today? Europe has struggled a little bit. Asia was pretty mixed overall. China, there's not a lot of confidence about that market at the moment. And again, the standout is the Philippines, actually, which, as a consequence of the election, and that I'm talking now about the man who's almost certainly going to be president. I don't think the vote is fully tallied, but it's Rodrigo Duterte, I think that's how it's pronounced, who is a 71-year-old firebrand of a character, has the somewhat worrying nickname of Dirty Harry, but he's a tough customer, and he's talking about fighting criminals, reducing corruption overall. Any market can benefit from that, and the response has been very positive. We've seen two strong days to the upside by the Philippines index. You know our mantra here at Fuller Tracy Money and saying that governance is everything. Well, somebody who's coming in regarded obviously a fresh face and regarded as the sort of strong character who can help the economy, help to reduce corruption, that leads to a short-term run in here. So I think the Philippines will hold its outperformance here for at least the short term, and hopefully longer overall. Looking elsewhere, I think some of the more interesting stories remain in commodities, and I have said for a number of months now that really most of this year I've been saying that they were oversold. Owen and I have been commenting on the fact that we felt the lows were in for commodity markets, and the big development, the one that really counts, is to see supply reductions. And we have been seeing supply reductions. They never occur quite as quickly as people actually hope, but they continue. And that has pushed the crude oil price up in here again today. And I think U.S. reserves were somewhat lower than actually expected. And so we see the Brent crude up $1.90 to 47.42. So it's had another equal-sized downward reaction and is strengthening here once again. And the WTI up $1.41 to 46.07. These commodities will be choppy, as we've said all along, but you know it's the classic performance in here. Late in a bull market cycle, we tend to see these strong recoveries in resources, which are of course extremely cyclical sector. Classically, they get strong moves just as broader indices are forming tops or at least establishing lengthy trading ranges, as in the case today. And they've all bottomed. It looks like they've all bottomed, and I think we could see further gains, particularly if the dollar does not move up too high, and I think it's going to stay pretty much within its current trading range. The dollar index today is actually down 0.456 ticks here. It's at 93.83, and obviously well away from that danger 100 level, which I think we're unlikely to see challenged in the short term unless the Fed really surprises me and pushes interest rates up. But again, I don't. I obviously don't expect that. Now, precious metals, hugely interesting sector. The good news and the bad news, well, the good news is the technical patterns have improved a lot, very clearly showing that the lows are in, but they're also overbought here in the short term, having had a pretty good run. That was checked on Monday when we had news of China raising the deposit requirements on commodity trading, and we had some sharp downward reactions, and they have they subsequently steadied up on Tuesday, and also in here today they're a little bit firmer, but I think, and I'm going to also say that I'm hoping that we see a little bit more of a pullback here, as could easily occur. The short-term stochastic indicators are still too close to the overbought level, the short-term overbought level. And if we see silver here today, it's up 35 cents. It's at 11, I beg your pardon, $17.44. And palladium is nearly $17 higher. It's at 609, and platinum's had a good day in here. It's currently at 1,070. That's up nearly $21 on the day. Gold a little bit quieter as usual, but it's still up nearly $12 at 1,277, and change. Now, Owen and I don't like to pay up for precious metals, and hopefully we don't have to get on board again. I'm going to hold off a little longer here myself and hope that we see a bit further pullback. Why might that actually occur? Well, we do read that the short interest is really quite high in gold, and so that will also be typical of the other precious metals as well. But there are an awful lot of talking bulls around, and I don't like it when you get a lot of hedge fund managers talking about how you must be in gold, and of course they're just talking their own positions up. But I think if we see any further pullbacks, that those would certainly be buying opportunities. I will want to move in there. They're part of precious metals. They have been really reevaluated in terms of their hard currency potential, although many people are just talking about them as currencies once again, rather than just commodities. That's part of the stage. When they talk about them as hard money, once again, then you'll know that the bullish psychology is well and truly accepted once again, and I think we will see that. So where do I think they're going? I think they'll certainly be higher by the end of the year. Hopefully we'll see a little bit of a dip here in the not too distant future. And I think that probably applies to most of the commodities, that they will be firmer overall. They'll also be volatile, as I've mentioned on innumerable occasions. Another one to look at here, I think, the soft commodities, some of them have had a pretty good run overall. One that has lagged a little bit is the Robusta coffee contract, and that looks quite attractive. It's got base formation development, and the South American crop is has led the way to the upside. So any of these commodities that are steady and showing basing characteristics are likely to get reasonably good runs, and that will include, I think, over the medium term, if not the short term as well, the industrial metals. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.